Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning, Canvas Church. How are we doing today? Man, it looks like everybody's decided to go on vacation on the same weekend. All right. We also have a missions team right now in Mexico coming back today or tomorrow. Coming back today, we have a missions team down there, been ministering to over 100 young people, young ladies specifically, right? over 200 young ladies. And so that's happening. So we'll have some reports about that next week. But they're gone, and hopefully you've been praying for them, thinking about them. But hey, you're here. You guys ready to have fun today? I should have went on vacation with everybody else. You guys ready to have fun today? All right. Grab your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me this morning to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. We're going to go to Acts chapter 2, and then we're going to go from there, Acts chapter 2, to Romans chapter 2. And all of the middle schoolers can head out to their class if there's any here today. There are a few. There they are. Fantastic. They can head to their class. Also, if you like to do paper notes, just raise your hand in the air if you didn't grab those on the way in. And our ushers will bring the paper to you right now. If you keep your hand up, they'll get to you as quick as they can. If you want to do digital notes, you can download those by texting the word APP to 858-943. 2221. We've been in our series entitled Stranger Things, and it's a study on the Holy Spirit. And now for some of you might be out there and be like, why did you entitle a series on the Holy Spirit Stranger Things? Because maybe you grew up in a movement or a church where, man, you're just all in, led by the Spirit. You talked about it a lot, talked about Him a lot, you know, and it's just, you know, just you're there. But here's what I've come to realize in the many years of ministry that I've been in is that it seems like anytime we talk about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, anytime we talk about the things of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, or maybe even tongues and speaking in tongues, baptism, Holy Spirit, things like that. Things that people are kind of like, that's strange, that's different. Here's my hope, though, that as we go through this series, we're going to look, take a biblical perspective and walk out of here with greater understanding and, more than that, a greater passion to be led by the Holy Spirit in our life. Amen? And so today, I actually want to specifically talk to you about being led by the Spirit. But we're going to first go to Acts chapter 2 and look at what is known as the initial outpouring, the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2. Can you turn me down just a smidge? That'd be great. I'm kind of loud up here. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And it says, when the day of Pentecost had arrived. What is Pentecost? Today, the most of the church looks at the day of Pentecost. We talk about Pentecost. We actually think about this passage we're reading right now, that Pentecost is the outpouring, the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Well, Pentecost represented something different to them right now in this time. The word Pentecost is really the Greek word. They didn't have a word Pentecost in the Old Testament. But what they were all there for on the day of Pentecost was they were celebrating the harvest of wheat, which came 50 days after the first fruit harvest. And you might be thinking, what do you mean they're celebrating the harvest of wheat? They just did things like that, right? How many of you guys like to party? Anybody like to party? Five of you, all right. I want to hang out with you people. You like to party. Well, man, it was pretty cool because in the Jewish customs, there were so many opportunities to celebrate, and this would be one of them. And so they are all now gathered 50 days after the first fruit harvest, and they're all gathered together in this place, and this is where the Holy Spirit decides to show up. So let's read on. There they are all in one place. Suddenly, a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. And tongues like flames of fire that were divided appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages as the Spirit gave them ability for speech. And this is where we see in Scripture this idea of speaking in tongues, baptism of the Holy Spirit, different languages. Now, I don't know what you're doing next Sunday, but if you don't have plans to be here either at our 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock service, because we are going to dive into that specific thought right there. And we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. So make sure that you show up. If you've had questions about that, thoughts about that, you want to learn more, come next Sunday. So they begin to speak. Verse 5. There were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. When this sound occurred, a crowd came together and was confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were astounded and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us can hear in our own native language?" And the next several verses goes on to mention the different people that were there. And verse 11 says, we hear them speaking the magnificent acts of God in our own languages. Verse 12, they were all astounded and perplexed, saying to one another, "What could this be?" But some sneered, saying, "They are full of new wine." Now, your translation might say they drunk, all right? So here's what took place, is that they're observing, the people observing this see something in these people that would make them think that they're intoxicated. That's why the Bible goes on to say, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? Because when the Holy Spirit fills you, when the Holy Spirit consumes you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there is a visible difference about you. Are you with me this morning? And that's what these people were noticing right here, that there is something completely different about them, thinking they're drunk. Verse 14, but Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and proclaimed to them, "Men of Judah and all you residents of Jerusalem, let me explain this to you and pay attention to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only 9 in the morning. On the contrary, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel." So now, this is so crucial to the whole thought this morning. Here is Peter. Holy Spirit gets poured out. Here is Peter, gets to stand up, and he begins to proclaim to them, hold on a second, you need to understand, this is something that Scripture said was going to happen. And he references all the way back to the prophet Joel, Joel chapter 2. And he says, "And it will be in the last days that I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams." And he continues on, but we're going to stop there. Listen, he says in the last days. What is the last days? As you study Scripture and theologically, you understand that the last days is ever since Jesus went to heaven. You got to understand that the last days, we're living in them right now. When we read this verse, it's not like we're longing and hoping for, yes, I can't wait till the day the Holy Spirit pours himself out. I can't wait for that day when the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to pour myself out upon all flesh, all blood. No, it's happening right now, and it's been happening ever since Jesus Christ went to heaven. Which would tell us this then as a church, that we need to position ourselves to receive what God is already doing. We need to position ourselves to receive it, that God is already pouring himself out upon all flesh and of all blood. So as a church, as a community, it's our responsibility to say, okay, then we're going to position ourselves for that. Why is he pouring himself out? He says, look, in those days, you're going to get visions, you're going to get dreams. Listen, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit isn't just for people to speak in different languages. The Holy Spirit is poured out to lead us and guide us as believers. Okay, we're going to see that. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verses 12 to 14. Romans chapter 8. And it says, "So then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die." Doesn't get much more point blank than that, does it? Live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But, everybody say but. But if by the Spirit you put to death, that's a capital S, talking about the Holy Spirit in us. If by the Holy Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. All those led by God's Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, all those led by the Holy Spirit are God's sons and daughters. Those led by the Spirit are God's sons and daughters. I want to talk to you for the next few moments about being led by the Spirit. God, we thank you so much for your word today. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. I pray in the next few moments that we have together that you would just bombard this place with your presence, that you would communicate life from this word today, and that we'd walk out of here today with a greater understanding of what it means to be led by the Spirit according to Scripture. God, I pray you'd help me now in this place, create an environment for people to encounter your son Jesus, know your incredible love, and understand the amazing plan that you have for our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I mentioned earlier in the worship portion of our service that we had a chance to get away on vacation this last week. We took off on Monday, came back late on Friday, and had an incredible time. Before we were going up there, I planned out the trip. And one of the things I realized that up there, there's some off-roading in Big Bear. Anybody ever been off-roading in Big Bear? Incredible experience. And so I took the Jeep up and made plans to go off-roading. Day one, we decided to take it easy, which is a good thing we did because there was a massive thunderstorm that hit. And so we're on some trails, but they weren't crazy trails, and it just got totally muddy, which was awesome. How many know that a Jeep Wrangler looks better with dirt on it? Come on, somebody. And so we're out there, we're having fun. So the next day, we're like, okay, we're going to go to a more advanced trail. And now, mind you, I've never been on these trails, and I've tried to do all the research I could, read up on maps, read up on articles and things like that, contacted Jeff saying, hey, I need the GPX file on how to find this thing. He sends me the GPX file, put it in the little thing, find it, we go, and the minute we get to the dirt road, it only led us to the dirt road. The minute we get to the dirt road, it just stops. It's kind of like, okay, there you go, we got you here. Now go. And so I'm like, we go. And so we're off. And it started out a little intermediate, and it got a little more advanced. And as it got more advanced, there's like a 350-foot sheer drop on the left side. And by this time, somebody in our Jeep, not going to mention who, but it's either going to be my wife or one of my two daughters, is now covered with a sweatshirt, hiding, won't look out the window, like it's just kind of freaking out, like, I want to go home. And I'm like, no, we're pushing forward. And it was pretty freaky at moments, I'm not going to lie. Matter of fact, there was a moment there later at night, I was like, that was pretty stupid. But, and so we're driving, but here's the thing, is like, I don't know where this thing fully ends. I don't know how it goes. I don't even know what's on the other side. I don't know if there's going to be like a tree laying somewhere. I just don't know, but we're having fun. And we get to, we're literally way up, and there's like a 350 sheer foot drop on this side. And then we get up, we turn this corner, there's a big boulder, like massive boulder in the road. And at this point, the other people in the car that weren't scared was like, let's turn around and go back. But then we look, and there ain't no place to back up. So it's like, we're going to have to figure out how to get around this thing. And so my wife gets out of the car and walks around so she can spot to make sure that we're not going to fall off the cliff. And so we inch around that thing. I was going so slow. We inch around that thing, and she's like, go closer to the boulder, closer. And I'm driving around that thing. We get around it. It wasn't until we got down to the bottom of the hill, like an hour later, that she was like, hey, FYI, your tire was hanging off the edge by about that much. I'm like, thank you for not. Yeah, and she's out of it, she's like, yeah, just get a little closer. Man, she probably shouldn't tell the kids to get out of the truck, but. But here's the thing, we had no idea what was ahead of us because we had no GPS system. We didn't know, we just kind of had to navigate through that, and although it was adventurous, it was uneasy at times, it was nerve-wracking at times, it panicked at times, we eventually got through, right? But we had nothing guiding us. Here's the thing, life without the Holy Spirit is a lot like that. Life without the Holy Spirit is a lot like I don't know what's ahead. I don't know what turn to take. I don't know. Oh, there's a boulder there. How are we going to navigate around that? And I don't know what's coming up. That's what life with the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, man, there's just so much peace about having the Holy Spirit. There's just so much guidance, so much direction. I mean, the Bible even says He will lead you and guide you in all truth. That's the Holy Spirit that's doing that. And you say, Pastor, did you just compare the Holy Spirit to the GPS system? Kind of. Yeah. Because you know what? There's something so nice about that little voice that tells you left turn in 100 feet. Isn't there? Left turn in 50 feet. Left turn in 25 feet. Recalculating, 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 right? Because you missed the turn, right? There's just something so nice about it. Let me tell you something. There's something so nice knowing that when Jesus went to heaven, He left the Holy Spirit to lead and guide the believer, come on, in every direction of life. Are you with me this morning? Something so awesome about that. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that we should be led by the Spirit. For those that are led by the Spirit, it actually says if you're led by the Spirit, then you're actually a son or a daughter of God. So how do I know if I'm a son or a daughter of God? I'm not just a son or daughter of God because I come to church on Sunday morning. I'm not just a son or daughter of God because I got a roadmap in my car. I'm a son and a daughter of God when I say, you know what? I'm not going to be led by my fleshly desires. I'm going to be led by the very Spirit of God. Matter of fact, in your notes, and you can fill in the blanks here, What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? Being led by the Spirit means we take our directions from Him and not from our own fleshly desires. We take our directions from Him and not by our own fleshly desires. I'm being led by the Spirit. I'm being led by the Spirit of God. Here's the thing. I think too oftentimes, and not just in the world, but even as Christ followers, sometimes we're led by our emotions too much. Right? We're led by our emotions. What feels right, what seems right, or we're led by circumstances and things that happen in around us, and we allow those things to lead us. But here's the thing. As Christ followers, we're to be led by the Spirit. We're not meant to be led from, to live, and this is the way I see a lot of us living, especially in the culture today, that we live our life from mountaintop experience to mountaintop experience. That if we're not living in this big moment, that something's off and something's wrong, right? Like we just have to, everything's got to be a big production, everything's got to be right, everything's got to be produced. I mean, come on, just jump onto Instagram, Facebook, any other social media site. Right? I don't know how it is that people have personal paparazzi following them around everywhere they go. It's like, how did you get that shot? It was you and your child at the mall. Who took that picture? And they're like, are you sitting with me? I'm just like, I literally sometimes I look at it like, how did you do that? And they use it like for a personal ad campaign. I'm like, what? It's amazing. Like, who are you paying to do that? You know? Or they went to the gym by themselves and they're working out. It's like, who did you invite to the gym with you? Oh, no, Pastor, it's a timer. You took the time to set that thing up in the gym? Some of you right now are like, I'm not talking about any of you. Talk about the first service. Come on, somebody. Right? But it just, your life is so produced. It's such a production. The sad thing is that literally has crept its way in the church sometimes. Man, I'll be honest with you, as a pastor, sometimes I'm like, man, last Sunday was epic. How are we going to do next Sunday? Right? I mean, like, come on out to family night. Well, what's going to happen at family? I don't know. Like, we'll have a clown? I don't know. Right? I don't know. We try to find ourselves out doing, like, and we want to live in these mountaintop experiences. But you know what? Even as you read through Bible, you weren't meant to live in the mountaintop experience. They were experiences that built up, that encouraged, that edified, that strengthened, and like you take what you got in the mountaintop experience and then you go and you live life. A matter of fact, if you look at just fruit in itself, because the job of the Holy Spirit, one of the things, is He produces fruit in our life. Do you know that? The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is. Go drive through the mountains. Where do you see all the fruit? It's down in the valleys. Fruit is produced in the valleys. But yet we so badly want to live in these mountaintop experiences all in and everything's just become overly produced and it creeps its way into the church. And how do we keep up? But here's what we need to understand. Listen, God didn't intend us to live our life that way. He intended us to live our life line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, simply being led by the very Spirit of God. Led by the Spirit. So we're led by the Spirit. What does it look like? Or how does the Holy Spirit lead us? Can I just give you a few things that I see in Scripture and that I've personally learned in my life, and these aren't exhaustive, and you can hopefully use this just to maybe whet your appetite. So I want to dive in more. And what other ways did the Holy Spirit lead people in Scripture? Let me just give you a few of them. How the Holy Spirit leads us today. Number one, He uses the Word of God. He uses the Word of God. You say, Pastor, but yeah, I know He uses the Word. What do you mean He uses the Word of God? Now, I've been to places before that will literally treat the Word of God, the Bible, I don't know how else to explain this, but almost like a psychic. Like you ever seen those booths set up before? Come in here, we'll tell you your future. And I've seen places use the Word of God like that before. Like, okay, what am I supposed to do today? Here it is. When David got up in the morning, ooh, a revelation from the Lord came. Wow, that's actually a pretty good one. Go kill your enemies. Oh, I guess I got to go kill somebody today. Wow. Right? Like, listen, now listen. Does God speak to us as we're reading this and things pop off the page and bring personal meaning to our life? Yes, that does happen. Absolutely. It's happened with us in many occasions and seasons of our life. We're praying, seeking God, and we're reading through a portion of Scripture, and it personally means something for us. But that's not what I mean by He uses the Word. Here's what you need to understand. The Holy Spirit is God, and as such, he will not contradict his own word. The Holy Spirit is not going to come along and lead you in a way that contradicts his word. Right? I mean, like, the Holy Spirit's not going to come along and say, hey, I think you need to go get drunk with your buddies so that you can minister to them. That's not what Paul meant when he said, I become all things to all men that by all means I might win some. Okay? The Holy Spirit is not going to come along and tell you to, hey, you know what? The wife you have right now is great, but I think this woman over here would be better for the vision that you have. It is not going to be the Holy Spirit. Okay? That might be a different spirit. More likely, it's probably your flesh. Well, okay? That's getting real in this church. Holy Spirit is not going to contradict the word. He's going to use the word. As a matter of fact, man, one of the things that the Bible says about the Holy Spirit is he is a teacher. Well, if he's a teacher, he's going to be the best teacher you've ever had. How many of you guys remember your days in school? I guess nobody went to school. All right. Come on, interaction right now. How many of you guys remember your days in school? Okay, perfect. Thank you. All right. Well, I remember my teachers. You know the really good teachers I had? Like if I was like to ask them a question, you know what they'd say? Well, did you read the material? You handed out material? Yeah, it's your math book. Oh. They're going to ask you if you read the material. Why? Because they're a good teacher. The Holy Spirit, being the best teacher you've ever had, is going to ask you, have you been reading the book? See, a lot of us are like, Holy Spirit, lead us, guide us, direct us. And he's like, I did. I gave you the word. Read that. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is not going to contradict this. I've seen so many people saying that they're being led by the Spirit. But then you look at their life and you're like, it's missing one key thing. What's that? The Bible. This is the way I've always looked at it, is the Holy Spirit, because the Bible compares or uses symbolism of water for the Holy Spirit. But you know what? You know what every directional body of water needs? It needs riverbanks. Right? I mean, if water just flows without banks, what happens? It floods. It gets messy. You know what the word is? The word is the banks of the river. The word is the banks that keeps the river flow. What do you need? You need this right here. You want to hear more of the voice of the Holy Spirit? Get more of the Word of God. You want to be led more by the Spirit? Get more of the Word of God. He's a good teacher, and he's going to point you right back to the Word. This is number two, how the Holy Spirit leads us today. Number two, he uses people. He uses people. Now, as I was studying and just writing my own personal notes, I wrote down he uses godly people. And then the more I started to study Scripture, I realized it don't matter if they're godly or ungodly. God uses people to lead his people. Matter of fact, one time he even used a donkey. And that ain't a people. He uses people. I don't care if they're saved, they're unsaved. God uses, the Holy Spirit uses people that are positioned in your life to lead you and to guide you and direct you. It doesn't matter if they're godly people or not. It could be an employer, it could be a principal, it could be a teacher, it could be a counselor, it could be a coworker, it could be a neighbor, it could be, it doesn't matter. God uses people. I look back at my own life and I can see time and time again when God used people to lead us in the vision and the direction that he has for us. Not only that, you look back in Scripture. And you look back in the Old Testament of the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. What did God do? God used a man named Pharaoh, right, to push them to the exit, to push them to get out, to push them. And yet Pharaoh's like, no, you can't go. And then he's like, okay, you can go. No, you can't go. No, you can go. Right? What was God doing that whole time? God was allowing Pharaoh to do that so God could display his glory. Right? Man, God uses people. God uses people, uses all sorts of people. He's used people in our life. Matter of fact, this building we're sitting in right now, God used the real estate agent, the realtor. Of course he did. You bought a building. No, check this out. We came to walk through this thing first time. And this real estate agent showing us around, and I'm asking all sorts of questions. And we're walking around. It's like we are portable in a theater. This is 3 acres, 25,000 square feet. And in my mind, I'm like, I don't know how we're going to do this. And then they show us. And it's like, if you haven't walked the whole entire property, it's a little bit creepy in some places. It's old. But it's like there's little rooms everywhere. And it's like, we had been here for 4 weeks, and I discovered another room that didn't even know existed. He's showing us around. And so I start asking, well, how much is it? And I'm like, man, I don't think we can afford that. So what would it be to rent? And he's like, well, you could pay this much to rent, but then you're going to have to share with these other places. And I'm like, I hate sharing. So I'm thinking, and all of a sudden we're up there, right up there where they're doing the Spanish translation right now, and if anybody's listening in Spanish. And we're up there, and he looks at me and goes, you know, if you would just stretch your faith a little bit, I believe that you guys could have this building. And I looked at him, I said, you know, if you would just give some of your money, I believe we could have this building. But God used him to get us to where we're at today. How many of you guys thankful for this place, huh? I'm thankful for it. Yeah. God uses people. He does it through all of Scripture. He uses people to direct us. The Holy Spirit will lead us through His Word, number one, and He uses people, number two. Number three, He uses visions and dreams. He uses visions and dreams. Now, this is where it starts to get a little bit like, okay, now this is strange. What do you mean, Pastor? Because I've had some really weird dreams in my life. Well, the Bible says that in the last days, He's going to pour out His Spirit upon everyone, upon all flesh, is what it says. And people are going to get visions and dreams. Visions and dreams are from God. God gives people visions and dreams. And He expects us to listen and to take it through the filter of the Word and begin to walk those things out. He is downloading visions and dreams into people. Listen, I'm telling you right now, this church exists because of a dream He put in my heart and my wife's heart. This church exists because of a vision that God put in our heart as we were sitting in a chapel just engaged, 1996, Northwest University, Kirkland, Washington. I was at a chapel, and that was an act of God in and of itself, because usually I card in and go play ping pong. Come on, somebody. This chapel I decided to show up to, sitting next to the woman I'm now married to, I was engaged to, and we're sitting there. All of a sudden, the presence of God started moving in that chapel like never before. Worship was just amazing. And I sat down, and God just began to give me a vision of this church, not of this building, of you. And I looked up, and tears in my eyes, I look over, and there's Katie, who I'm engaged to, and she's weeping too. And I said, God just showed me something. She goes, God showed me something too. I said, you go first. And about 20 seconds into her sentence, I finished her sentence. Because God showed us the exact same vision at the exact same moment. And because of that, Canvas Church exists today. Because of that, you're sitting in these chairs today. Because of that, you have the relationships and the friends sitting around you today. Why? Because God speaks in visions and in dreams. Listen, that's not just my story. Look at the Bible. A guy named Joseph, right? Coat of many colors. The guy had some dreams, right? And God fulfilled those dreams. There's another guy named Joseph in the New Testament. God shows up to him in a dream. Says, hey, I want you to take Mary, the one that's pregnant. Yeah, that's me. That's the Holy Spirit. I want you to take her to be your wife. And because of that dream, Joseph takes Mary. God speaks in visions and dreams. The Holy Spirit leads through visions and dreams. Let me give you two more, band. You can come up. He uses discipline. Discipline. Now, this is never a fun one to talk about. No one loves discipline. All right? But the Holy Spirit actually uses discipline to lead us. Hebrews 12:6 says, for the Lord disciplines the one He loves. You know what? I'm a good father to my children because I disciplined them and I still discipline them today. Matter of fact, the way I read the Bible is I'm a bad father unless I discipline my children. And here the Bible is telling us that the Lord disciplines the one He loves. I used to joke around with people. It's like, hey, have you ever felt like God corrected you? No. I'm like, oh, He doesn't love you very much. whom the Lord loves, he disciplines and punishes every son or daughter he receives. Now, when God comes in, power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and disciplines us, it's because he wants to lead us because he loves us. And listen, a lot of times that discipline comes in the form of spiritual authority in our lives, authority of any type in our lives, a spouse, a really good friend, right? A discipline. But you know, here's something I've come to realize is that a lot of times when we think about discipline, the Holy Spirit leads through discipline, we immediately think correction, right? Like he's got to correct me. But the Holy Spirit doesn't just lead through correction, discipline. He leads through disciplines. You know, when Jesus called people to himself, they were called disciples, disciplined ones. You know what the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit, listen, I believe this on my heart, more than the Holy Spirit wanting to come and wanting to correct you when you're wrong, the Holy Spirit wants to come and put disciplines in your life to help lead you so there doesn't have to be correction later. That's why it's so important we go back to number one. Number one, how does the Holy Spirit lead? He leads with this right here. What is this right here? This is an amazing book full of disciplines that we need to apply to our life. And as we apply these to our life, we now have disciplines that the Holy Spirit uses to lead us, guide us, and direct us. Did you know that what you're doing right now is actually a discipline? That you coming to church on Sunday morning is a discipline as a spiritual person, as a follower of Christ, that we've put in our life according to Scripture. Why? So that we can stay in tune with him and the direction that he wants to lead. It's a discipline. The Bible says, don't forsake the gathering of the saints together. Be in fellowship with one another. When you no longer do this, you no longer have that discipline. And I guarantee you, your spiritual walk is completely different. It's a discipline I put in my life. You know that daily devotions, give us today our daily bread. That's the Bible. Give me today. That's a discipline. And when I put that discipline in my life, the Holy Spirit uses that discipline to lead me, guide me, and direct me. The Bible's full of disciplines. Tithing, giving our finances. What is that? It's a discipline found in Scripture that I put into my life. And as I put that into my life, the Holy Spirit uses that discipline to bless me. See, some people misunderstand it. They think, oh, man, it's a prosperity thing. If you give to God, he'll give you everything you want in return. No, it's not a prosperity thing. It's a discipline thing. I've learned the discipline of tithing, of giving the first fruits, 10% of everything that comes in. And when I do that, I experience blessings in my life because the Holy Spirit leads me into those blessings because of the discipline of tithing. The discipline. That's what it is. My life, my family, we are blessed. Now, when I say blessed, some of you start thinking financial. Listen, there's so much more than just financial. My kids are healthy. They're thriving. They go to a good school. They have good friends. My wife and me, we're thriving. We're in a good relationship where we can talk with one another and counsel one another and lead one another. That's healthy. That's blessed. I am blessed financially. Why? Because I have a discipline in my life. And the Holy Spirit uses that discipline. So I'm going to pour out blessing upon you. See, when we think about discipline, too often we think about correction. No, how about we think about, let's put the disciplines of the Word of God in our life. I'm going to surround myself with a godly community. I'm going to be a giver, not a taker. I'm going to talk well of people, and I'm going to bless people. I'm going to help. And I put these disciplines in, all of a sudden, man, life is good. Life is good. You take one of those disciplines out. Holy Spirit uses discipline to lead us. Lastly, he uses peace. He uses peace. The Holy Spirit uses peace in our life to lead us. Now, here's the thing. I don't want us to misunderstand this one either. Because here's what happens. Remember, being led by the Spirit means we're allowing him to guide us and direct us, not our own fleshly desires. But here's what happens too oftentimes, is that we're about to make a decision, and we take that decision through the filter of peace. And we say, okay, well then if I'm supposed to do this, then you'll provide the right home and you'll provide the right amount of money and you'll provide the right community for me and you'll provide the right church and then I'll have this and I'll have that. And all of a sudden what happens is just your fleshly desires leading you. Because you're saying everything out here has to be peaceful. And if everything out here is peaceful, then that must be God leading me. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that there's got to be an internal peace inside of you to know that God is leading you. That it doesn't matter what's happening around me. It doesn't matter if there's chaos. It doesn't matter if there's dysfunction. It doesn't matter if this is happening, if that's happening. I can walk in it and experience peace in my inner being because I'm not anxious for anything, but everything I bring to Him and the peace of God that surpasses all human comprehension guards my heart and my mind in Him. But we're so led by our flesh that we think we got to have this and I got to have the money in the bank and the house and this has got to be. No. You know the Holy Spirit's leading you when you have an internal peace, even when everything around you is chaotic and people are looking at you saying, man, what? Why are you doing that? Why are you? Because I've got this peace, this guiding light inside of me saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. You'll use that peace. Right in here to lead you and to guide you and to direct you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for who you are. Go ahead and stand to your feet this morning as we close. Holy Spirit, we thank you for leading us. God, I pray, Lord, not just for individuals right now, but I pray for this incredible community. God, I pray for Canvas Church, that we as a body, that we as a community, that we as a people would learn to be led by you. And I believe it's one of the greatest things we could do. God, we're not looking for just the mountaintop experiences. Lord, we thank you for those moments. And God, we're not looking for the overly produced. God, we're looking to be led line upon line, precept upon precept. We want to be led by the very Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, would you lead us and guide us and direct us? With every eye closed and every head bowed, I prayed for us as a community. I just want to pray for you as an individual now. And you're here. And you'd say, Ben, you know, I'm hearing what you're saying, and I know right now that I need to yield my life over to Him and be led by Him. About 5 or 6 hands in the first service. Maybe it's just a resurrender, and you've been living by your flesh, and you've been trying to direct your own life. But right now, God is saying, no, son, daughter, let me lead you by my Spirit. Every eye closed, every head bowed, and you know that you need to yield your life over to Him right now in this moment and be led by the Spirit. I just want you to shoot your hand in the air right now, right where you're at. Come on, don't be shy. Just lift it up. You know who you are. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Hallelujah. Okay, I just want you to whisper this and just say, Holy Spirit, come, lead, take me where you want to take me. God, I surrender myself to you once again. Forgive me for living according to my own fleshly desires. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.